Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Mary Catherine Ray.
Mary Catherine.
And I'm the wildlife volunteer for the Rio Grande chapter of the Sierra Club. And I'm pleased to be on Sunny's show this morning to talk about trapping and the trapping rules in New Mexico, because we're pretty fired up about how unjust they are and want to change them.
And you have got an event. You're actually on the road, right? Your band of merry anti-trappers is on the road. And
yes.
What is your route?
We're starting in the north, and it starts today. We're going to be doing presentations called The Troubles with Trapping out in the hinterlands, because trappers often say that, we don't have support out there, but we know we do. We're starting out in Grants, and then Farmington, then Española, then Taos is the northern circuit. And the southern circuit is going to be next weekend starting in Portales, and then Monday, a week from today, in Roswell, the next day in Silver City, and we're going to wind it up in Los Lunas.
And now, are you driving any vehicles that have, like, coyotes and wolves and all that stuff on them?
No, we rent it.
Riding bicycles? Are you doing anything to call attention to this cause?
We're hoping that, I'm on your show, for one. We tried to get some letters to the editor and papers in all these places, and we put up flyers and looking for volunteers to help us get out the word.
And what kind of reception do you get when you make these pleas for help?
Some papers have printed our letters, and some papers won't return our calls. It's kind of a mixed bag.
Who has supported you? Which newspapers have supported you?
Surprisingly, the Farmington paper has.
Why do you say surprisingly? I'm relatively new to New Mexico. What is it about Farmington that surprised
well,
you?
Well, I wouldn't say what surprises me is when small papers do. In the hinterlands where, it's probably thought that everyone traps and everyone supports trapping. We don't think that that's true. We did a poll in 2005, research and polling, the firm that does all the political polling in New Mexico, and we found that a large number of people, vast majorities, no matter what demographic you look at or what geographic region, actually support banning traps on public lands in New Mexico, which our neighbor Arizona has already done, and which our neighbor Colorado actually bans them statewide.
Colorado bans trapping statewide?
Yes, prohibits leg hold traps and what's called body gripping traps and snares statewide.
Wow.
And both of those states have, there's some other, California does the same, Washington does the same. There's some other states in the east that also do. But they mostly have accomplished it with a ballot initiative, which we don't have in New Mexico, where you can actually just gather signatures and put it on the ballot. So we've had to search, the path is not clear for us. We've had to look for another way, and that's part of what we're doing as well.
I think being part of the Sierra Club, I think you should probably say the trail is not clear for us.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Now, I try to stay away from terms because I run a no-kill animal shelter, like pet peeve, right? But here is my pet peeve, and I have spoken about this to county commission meetings and to the BLM and the Forest Service. I have talked with Mark Cadwallader about it, so I'm an equal opportunity complainer. And one of my big pet peeves is that the state of New Mexico spends lots and lots of money in other states to entice tourism, to build tourism, to get hikers out here, and we show them the photos and the videos of our beautiful park areas, our national land, and come and hike, and even some of them actually have pictures of people walking with their dogs hiking.
Yeah.
And yet nowhere in those videos and nowhere at the sites, nowhere on our public lands or hiking trails does it say, beware, traps can be placed within 25 feet or 25 yards, which is it?
25 yards.
25 yards, yes. Of this posted hiking trail.
Yes.
Now, to me, that is absolutely horrible.
Yes.
That is bringing a little duckling in and not saying anything about the boiling pot of water that's right there. This is so egregious to me. And when I have brought it up at various meetings and asked, why don't you tell people this, they say, people are supposed to have their dogs on leash. Well, that's not the case. There is no law about keeping your dog on a leash on a public trail. And they do post other things. They say, don't litter. You know, don't leave your trash. Don't leave things. There are bears and all these different warnings. Mm-hmm. Is the ink attendant to trapping verbiage more expensive than that they buy for the other warnings at the public trails?
I don't think so. But I can tell you this. I know that trappers themselves also do not want warning signs, and the reason is that they tend to steal each other's traps. You know, trapping for them is all about money. The reason they're doing it is to make money on selling the pelts, and a single trap can run, you know, $10, $15. So,
Then I guess I should donate my dog's leg to their cause, to their monetary cause. And I guess if I take my kids, which I don't have any, but if I took my kids hiking or my Boy Scout troop or my Girl Scout troop, I guess they should just happily donate their foot or their toes or end up in the hospital because we don't want to post on the trails that this could happen.
Exactly.
Nobody stays on the trail all the time. And the whole idea about the public parks and asking people to come and come to New Mexico and getting their money in their hotels and the restaurants and all of that, it's all to help New Mexico, but it's also to give them a safe experience, a happy experience.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that to me is just...
Yeah, it trapping truly does. I mean, even if there were warning signs, I know my feeling would be, because I've actually seen, and this is differently regulated, but when they put out poison, the agency of the federal government called Wildlife Services will put up a little sign. And it's like, you know, well, it might as well say keep out is what it might as well say, because
yes.
I'm not going to go risk that.
That's right.
And so for that reason, really, we think that traps should not be allowed on public land.
And you know what? We all pay taxes for that.
Truly.
We all pay and ostensibly own as citizens of the United States. We're all part of the public lands.
Absolutely.
And so we have just as much right to protect our legs and our feet and our dogs and our kids and ourselves as the trappers do their $15 or $25 traps.
Oh, absolutely.
And now if you think I'm upset about this, wait till you hear what Gwenna Reese has to say. Gwenna is in the studio. Gwenna, what is your take on this situation?
I despise traps. Absolutely despise them. We lived out south of town, and one of our dogs went out, and she was big enough that she drug the trap in.
Oh, my gosh.
And we got, it was so strong that we couldn't get it. Even my husband couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord.
Undone.
When did this happen?
Oh, this was back in maybe 82, in 83 in there. And one of our other dogs was missing.
Well, wait, so what happened?
Well, we finally, we went to a neighbor and he came and we got, had to stand on that thing to get it off of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other dog was missing.
Oh, no.
And we went out and started looking, and we found her in a trap. Luckily, you know, was easier to get her out of because she was a much smaller dog.
Oh, my. And neither of them lost their legs?
No.
Oh, thank
no,
God.
They didn't.
Well, I know a family in Alto, and there is a public trail and a parking lot, and it's really quite nice up in the more moneyed area there. And their dog got out, and some hunter had put a trap behind the dumpster in the parking lot.
Oh, my word.
And that dog never even had a chance, barely got out of the car, was sniffing around the dumpster, and got and actually lost her leg. This is just ridiculous. And of course, it was right in front of the sign that said, don't litter, right by the dumpster. And, of course, you know, forget about the hunters who sit by the dumpsters and just wait for the easy pickings on the deer and shoot them.
Well,
there,
my husband, when he called animal control, and then it ended up with one of the government agencies. And he told them that if he found a trap, he was going to take it up,
mm-hmm.
and he would throw them in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And they told him, if you're going to do that, don't you tell us.
Yeah, you know, that'd be the funny thing around
That's
here.
Actually, yes, it's
yeah,
illegal.
He'd be the one getting prosecuted,
yeah.
right? They wouldn't
Absolutely.
Do anything. Now, don't they usually have some kind of ID on these traps, Mary Catherine?
Yes, they're supposed to have a trapper ID number or else their name and address stamped on the trap frame itself. that's probably the most common infraction that trappers disobey. They won't put that. The traps are also supposed to have a little gap. They call it an offset. And trust, it's like an three-eighths of an inch. It's supposed to make the trap more humane, which is hilarious to me because, you know, three-eighths of an inch is a tiny, tiny, tiny gap. But anyway, that also is very commonly not present. But I can tell you that a year ago, we were actually on a Sierra Club outing, and we came across a coyote who was stuck in a trap that actually had that little gap, and her leg was pretty much almost all the way off. She had just about, I mean, trappers call it a ring off when, you know, the animal struggles so hard, they eventually just twist their feet off.
Oh, my God.
And I can't tell you how, what a horrible experience that was. It was just, it just totally changed our outing, and it's just something I'll never forget. And it's, so when you say that something happened to you in 1982, it's like you were a victim of a crime, and you just don't forget it. And it makes you look at the places you go in a different way. I don't think I'll go back to this place where the coyote was. It's a beautiful place, but it just, you know, it's like, I don't think I'll go back there.
Well, I used to go to a beautiful place in Ruidoso called Pert Canyon, and I used to take my dogs up there, and I'd let them off. And we had grand times, and then one of my friends said that her dog had gotten caught in a trap up there.
Wow.
And I mean, we're talking, you know, 5 minutes to downtown Ruidoso, a bustling metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. But and she never went back, and I never went back. I mean, so, I was just looking for him under every leaf, and that's not a hike.
Exactly. So basically, what has happened to you is that your public lands were stolen from you because of a trapper putting traps there. And, I mean, the trapper has no idea the effect and the ripple that it has.
Oh, they don't care. Come on. By the way, our studio line here, if you want to make a comment, is 437-1230. 437-1230 here at KRSY AM Talk Radio. And, Mary Catherine, now, I know that people will hear this question and say, oh, well, that's a duh. That's an obvious. But what is your answer to trapping? Okay, so what is the Sierra Club's take on this? Do you think that animals should not be trapped, period? Animals should not be killed, period? If they're going after the livestock, well, that's a cost of doing business. Or is there some other way to mitigate the loss to the ranchers? What is your take? What does the Sierra Club advise?
The Sierra Club has very definite policies about hunting, and this is not about hunting. So we actually are supportive of regulated hunting. But trapping is just so different. It's done for the market value of the pelt. It's not management-driven. It's market-driven. And the animals that are mostly trapped in New Mexico are going to be coyotes, bobcats, and foxes. And some of the others that are you can trap are usually incidentals, like badgers and ringtails, things like that.
Why do you call them incidentals?
Meaning that the trap was actually sent for something else, and the other animals ran into it. It's legal to trap a badger and a ringtail. It's not legal to trap a black bear or a cougar kitten or a javelina, but those also wander into traps, and we don't have any idea to know how many or what happens to those animals, because New Mexico Game and Fish doesn't keep track of them. But there are things that livestock owners can do to mitigate and protect their livestock from predation. Really, coyotes probably are the, you know, bobcats maybe get some sheep, but killing coyotes is not effective as far as preventing predation. Just to go out and blanket set a bunch of traps hoping you're going to reduce the population really has the opposite effect, because the way coyotes breed, if you kill a bunch of them, then you release a bunch of them to actually breed who would not have bred otherwise. So they produce bigger litters, more litters. You actually make the problem worse if you just are going to go out and willy-nilly kill coyotes. What livestock owners can do that are really effective is employ guard animals. Things like llamas, burros, guard dogs are just absolutely can protect so that you don't even have predation anymore, or have it in such a low level, one or two, you know, that it's not an issue anymore. And it actually does work. It's easier on wildlife, because if you look at what coyotes eat, they mostly eat rodents, rabbits, pack rats, things that are eating the same thing that your livestock eats. And Without that predation, those animals can really get out of hand and make a dent in the amount of forage that's available to other wildlife.
I must tell you that Gwenna Reese here is shaking her head and jumping up and down and mouthing, no, no, no. What were you...
Well, because I don't believe that's totally true about coyotes. Coyotes will eat anything. I had a lady tell me one time, because I was talking about how they got my geese, and she looked at me and said, a coyote will not eat anything unless it's hungry. And that's not true. I told her I could show her where coyotes had come in and got my geese, killed them, and dropped them because they weren't hungry.
They do
killed
have that.
About 300 fowl that I had. I had chickens and geese and ducks and everything that they would come in. They'd be standing in my driveway, and then they would slowly walk off. Mm-hmm. A coyote will kill just like any other predator will, or a domestic dog will. If it kills chickens, it will kill chickens. You can't stop it.
And that's the same thing with coyotes. I was raised also to think that wild animals only ate to fill hunger. So what is your response to that, Mary Catherine?
I know that, you know, they do have an instinct where if something runs from them, they do have an instinct to chase it. So if they're in a place where, and I don't know what situation you had where your fowl were, if they could get in, and so now they're in a confined area with a lot of things running around, they can indeed... they'll chase stuff, and it's their instinct to kill things that are running.
Well, I had my chicken or my fowl and all, everything was free range. I mean, I had a big enough property, and when I would and we tried to, it's almost impossible to catch coyote. We even did sit out night hunts and everything else to try to stop them.
And I would say I don't object to that. I mean, if you've got a coyote, you know, it's probably just one or two who have learned this trick. Go ahead and do your best to eliminate them. And, you know, there's things you can do, like putting them in at night. I don't know if that was ever feasible for you, but I think...
I put them in at night, and then I had a barn that they would roost on, and the coyotes would jump and scare them, and they'd fly off at night, and then they would kill them at night.
So
I'm not real thrilled and enthralled with coyotes.
But the point comes back to there are times
that there are too many of them, and I think that they have to be controlled.
But the problem is, what you just said, they cannot be controlled. I mean, we've been killing coyotes relentlessly, poisoning them, shooting them from the air, trapping them, for a century, and they've expanded their range threefold as a result. So, I mean, killing them doesn't work is what it comes down to. And so we've got to look at other ways in order to deal with them and to protect. You know, we have some responsibilities to try and keep, you know, build a better barn, build a better chicken coop that coyotes can't get in, because killing them really does not work.
If you live out in the country, I can get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they will be surrounding the place, and they'll be singing from one place to the other to the other. Mm-hmm. They will kill your dogs. They will kill your cats. They love cats.
Yes.
And
in fact, it's interesting you bring that up, because cats kill a lot of birds, and I've read a study that somebody did. It was actually in California, and they were looking at, you know, the urban wildland interface, and one area had tons of birds, just an incredible diversity, and the other had none. And the difference was coyotes. The coyote area had tons of birds, all kinds of songbirds, and the reason is the coyotes were keeping the cat population down. So it's not as simple as just, you know, coyotes and then everything else. Everything interacts with everything else, and we call it, actually it's called a trophic cascade, where a top predator will keep what we call mesopredators, which, you know, are smaller animals, keep those in check, and that can help other animals throughout the food chain so that you end up with a larger amount of diversity.
Mary Catherine, I appreciate you being on. I've blew way past my commercial break because this was, like, so cool. I appreciate Gwenna's comments as well. I know that this is not the first time that you have heard these feelings conveyed to you, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I want to reassure that.
That's why you're on the road.
Say again?
That's why you're on the road with
absolutely.
This campaign. And now tell us again where you're going to be. You're going to be down here. I know you're starting up north.
Yes.
What is the website address so people can find you and meet with you and interface with you on this route?
We are all together a coalition of organizations called Trap Free New Mexico, and you can find us at trapfreenm.org.
And we will post that on our Facebook page, and I'll put that on my Animal Village Facebook page also.
Wonderful.
And then, do you have a picture you can send us of yourself, your pretty little anti-trapping face?
I'll look for one. Okay. When next time I'm home, which would be probably in a couple of days, I'll see if I'll send one over.
And good deal. And then next week, it should be noted that you will be in Roswell, which is the closest location to us that you will be.
Yes.
And that is where and when?
We're going to be at the Roswell Public Library a week from today, which is April 23rd, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the evening. The address for that is 301 Pennsylvania. So anyone who can hear who'd like to come learn more about trapping and why we don't like it, and we'll talk some about, you know, how to open a trap should you ever encounter one in the wild. You can see how they work, and I hope you all come out.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Catherine, for being on the show, and I will post the website, and you are with the Sierra Club.
Yes.
And I really appreciate you being on. This is the first time we've had a Sierra Club interview, and you're a great advocate.
Oh,
really
thank you very
much. Gwenna's sitting here, and I will tell you, she's sitting here with her arms crossed, and she's still ticked off, but I'll tell you what, I think you're doing great work. And I really appreciate it, and I hope that this will be the first of many interviews, okay?
Absolutely. Appreciate it so much.
And I'm going to try and get up to Roswell myself.
I would love that. That would be great.
And maybe do another follow-up and see what the folks up there have to say to you, okay?
Yeah, bring Glenna. I'd love to meet her, too.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.